Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR.
Welcome to Sexy and Van City Radio, 101.9 FM on CITR. Or maybe you could be one of our podcast listeners. However you've decided to spend the first day of summer, we're really, really glad to have you, and especially for this hour. It hopefully will get hotter in Vancouver, at least on the show it will, although I do get concerned about our weather because it seems to be a little scary, but I am very, very glad it was gloriously sunny today and I managed to get out to the park and enjoy some sunshine because I think it is something that we all need, a nice dose of vitamin D. So tonight, in terms of getting us a little bit warm, maybe a little bit hot, depending on your thoughts, I don't know how many of my listeners out there, how many of you have read 50 Shades of Grey, because it is an interesting book. I know when I was at Chapters over the weekend, and yes, I know I need to start buying things online and kindling it, so I am being a little bit good in that way, but how many, I've noticed that it's one of the top-selling books in the store at Broadway and Granville, so I thought that was really cool, and I was curious as to how does 50 Shades of Grey fall into play in regards to our relationships. So it was really cool because one of my favorite guests who I have back on the show, the lovely Laska Maria from Sex Ed with a Twist, he is back on the show again. So I'm very excited about that. And she's the very best person to ask. And she is doing workshops about 50 Shades of Grey. So I'm pretty excited. So we're going to find out some more. And don't worry, for those of you who have not read the book yet, this is not a plot spoiler. So you can enjoy, you can get excited and have some fun and have a lot of food for thought for the hour, and hopefully it'll take you on more than that because Alaska's got her workshops coming up and I'm very excited. So Alaska, my darling, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much, Carolyn.
You're welcome. So tell us a little bit about the workshops first and foremost. I think that's probably, let's start with that.
Well, definitely the workshops came about because of the popularity of the books. Mm-hmm. When women were coming into either certain stores that we were selling products to or even online or email, they were asking regarding the different products that were used in the books. And if you read the books in a different sense of just understanding that it's not always about bondage, it's actually about the intensifying orgasm of the main character called Anastasia Steele, that she is so liberated on her orgasms that it is very enticing. It's almost like it brings out the fantasy, especially in relationships, to intensify it to such a level that it is explosive.
Wow.
So using the different products or even learning about the different maneuvers that she learned, because she was originally a virgin in the first book, right? We're going to say it right off the bat because everybody does. But how she really controls her orgasms to such a level that most women want to be at that level with their partner. And that is what the whole, it's actually a trilogy set. So you don't have 50 Shades of Grey as your first, and then you have the 50 Shades Darker, and then you have the 50 Shades Free. And what it's all based upon is the 50 Shades is the fact of how he, being a very dominatrix gentleman, that he controls all his relationships, but she will not allow him to control her and her orgasms. So that is where the power is, and that's what women want to do, like empower in their own relationships. So when I do workshops, that's what they always ask me is like, how did she get that intense orgasm that was so mind-blowing that she was like on another planet?
So of course the obvious question is, how did she?
Well, that's the thing. Number one is that she takes it all, you know, yes, this rich, powerful man who's completely friggin' gorgeous. And she just comes in and she takes it. She loved him the moment she saw him. So how do you capture that and bring it into your whole relationship? Is she just started realizing herself, like what she wanted out of herself and what she wanted out of her relationships and what she wanted out of the whole her whole sexual being, because being a virgin, she actually had, it's called a clean slate. So she had no issues coming into the relationship. So even though he portrayed this whole bondage and dominatrix thing, she looked at it as a form of, okay, I respect that. But let's go for like a little bit further in my own sexuality instead of just being a submissive. And that's why I think it's very capturing, is because it's not about bondage. It's about a romance, and it's about the romance that we as women want to capture in our own lives.
And I think that's a really key point about the romance. And it still blows me away that it was originally started off on fan sites, the original bits, where it was about Bella and Edward from the Twilight series.
Absolutely.
It just kills me because I guiltily read every single one of them and loved it. So I have this funny feeling. I'm like, just like this. So.
You would love it. It is, and that's what it is. It captures something that's really important. I have to be honest, though. Like, the way it's written is not like other sexuality books. Like, if you read Catherine M. or you read any Xavier Hollander books that are very well written about mm-hmm. sexuality, that I found that these were very simple. So what it did is it captured the moment, and it captured the mood. And that's why I have to say, it's like when people ask me at the parties and the seminars, it's like, what do you think that you got out of these books? I'm like, the same thing that you did, is that it made, excuse my language, but made your cunt thump. There is no other word to describe how the writing works with that feeling, because when you read it, and the intensifying of her orgasms in such simple form, that you go through and you start analyzing it in your own form of what you want mm-hmm. and how you want to have those orgasms. And then what we do is we dissect it. So when you come to my seminars, like, for example, when in book two, she's using a spreader bar.
Okay. What is a spreader bar?
For a spreader
those
bar.
Of us who do not know what the spreader bar is.
Is that just a bar that locks your feet into place? And of course, in the book, because he's a multimillionaire, he has the big special dungeon room. But the spreader bar she decided to use instead of a bondage play, which makes her submissive, that she moved her hips around to intensify the vaginal canal and the muscles, so when he penetrated her, that her orgasm became tenfold more intense because she couldn't move her legs. And what she was doing before in a lot of her orgasms was she was becoming, it's called a grip death, where you actually intensify based on your feet and your hands, so you actually don't let your orgasm flow out. Which a lot of us do because we are so programmed into, tuned into porn, and porn creates this look, but it doesn't create a reality to the way our bodies work.
So how do we move in an era of internet porn, et cetera, where porn has never been more accessible than it is today, to getting so we can have that wonderful flow in terms of an orgasm in our bodies?
Well, the number one thing here in Vancouver, which we are awesome on, is that we have such a healthy culture.
Okay.
So a lot of people are doing like exercise, yoga, and really positive energy.
Okay.
And positive energy, because with our whole chakras and the way that we feel, is that we have to release the tension in our feet and our hands.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the biggest one, because a lot of times we grip it and we almost do something, which I love to hear people, is that they hold their breath. And it's not just with men and women, it's with everyone. And that's like something that stops the orgasm from being released. And that's called a conditioning that started years ago, whether it's like from masturbation or looking at porn, etc. And so releasing that energy is the first thing that we always teach. And that's being aware of where your feet and your hands and your breath is. So that's number one. But we're very lucky because we're a very health-conscious society. So I have to say Vancouver really good. In the United States, when I deal with people, whether it's on the internet, everything, they're so conscious about how they have to look to their partner because of what magazines or other cultures, they have to get over it.
So that's interesting that the Americans are more, from your experience,
yes,
have been more
my experience.
Media savvy, in the sense that they're more aware and it's affected their self-image. That's interesting.
Well, it's also because of the obese society down there. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of my clients that I deal with, they've always said, you know, I'm like 20, 30, 40 plus pounds, can I still have great sex? And one of the things I always say, absolutely, but you've got to get your mind wrapped around that you have to be acceptable where you're at with your body. And so if they can accept that, they can go to that other level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they want to work on it, they can work on it, but they have to go and learn to accept for what they are.
And I think that goes for all of us, and especially if I'm thinking full circle here, so
by accepting who you are, by engaging in a breath practice. So, because I know you mentioned yoga as well, and I know people like Dr. Ian Kerner, who wrote She Comes First.
Absolutely.
And he did the sex detox as well, encourages have a breath practice just to get in touch with your own body, which makes sense in regards to the flow, because I can just see the gritted funny faces and stuff like that.
That's why masturbation was so important, even in the books, that they did talk about masturbation. And she was quite, you know, shocked on, like, trying it out, because she had been fairly suppressed with her sexuality. And one of the things that is touched upon is, how do you know what you can ask for if you don't know your own body? So masturbation gives you that insight to understand it. But also it helps you practice, like, with releasing the breath and releasing the hands and feet for energy flow. So a lot of times when I have to do the seminars, I'm like, ladies, you need to literally learn how to masturbate. And the other thing, I'm a huge fan of looking at your vagina. Please look at your vagina. Don't make it some hidden, like, taboo. And that's another thing that is discussed in the book, once again, is that she was very comfortable in her skin, because not only did he bring it out, but she realized that if she wanted to go to another level of not only her orgasms and her sexuality and her relationship, she had to get really in tune with her body.
That's huge.
Very. It was big. Like, in the books, I was shocked. And I think that's what it captures, the women and their fantasy, because they realize that everything that we've ever discussed, or that they know deep down that they have to do, the books brought it out in a romance and in a flowery sense. And that's why it is so popular. And that's why people keep talking about it. I think it's amazing, because this woman who was a virgin had such power and over her own orgasms. I mean, she could come, have a fantastic orgasm within 2 or 3 minutes. And that's what it's all about when you're with the right person, but not just with the right person, but with the right person within yourself. Mm. And that's what she shows throughout all 3 books, is that everything is so in tune with where she's feeling that she's just going with it.
And it's interesting where she was able to do that by saying yes to what he thought he wanted and actually showing him what he actually really, 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 really wanted underneath.
Absolutely. And
so it's interesting because without giving away the plot.
Yes, absolutely.
It does not read that way. Like, in the sense of when you look at a synopsis, okay, this is what this book is about. It's like, wow, it's kind of flips on you.
Exactly. And that's what it is. Like, so when she's using the spreader bar, you know, she realizes that if she thinks of it as submissive, I've got to lie there and just be penetrated, that she's like, great, that's it. So she took it and she was like, why not move the hips into a different position? So when he was penetrating her and he was thinking he was taking control, that she was moving her hips at the same time, and it actually brought the two of them a lot closer at the same time being dominated. But yet, was she submissive or was she an equal at that moment? And that's what it brings it out. So using the spreader bar, when I sell them, a lot of women are like, oh my gosh, I have to get to that level. And I'm like, then you have to realize that you just can't lie still and let it be one feeling to another. It's like, you have to join in. Interesting topic, huh?
It's a very interesting topic. I was wondering, in regards to the application of self-image, breath, and then from there, the self-acceptance. How long in terms of, for some of the women, like in the workshops, do they actually masturbate in the workshops? Or?
No, never.
I have the vagina monologues. Where you're lying on the blue mat, where you have like the mirror in between your legs and with the British accent.
I am like such a prude. Even though I teach this stuff, there's certain things I cannot see. Like, and I love the other people that do workshops with live demos. I'm so not a live demo girl. There's no live demos any come soon. Oh my gosh. No, what we have to do is talk about it in a really fun manner. Because when people come and see me, they are so scared to even say that they've ever looked at their vagina other than their doctor looked at it or
so
something.
They're like Charlotte from Sex and the City.
Yes.
She spends time looking
exactly.
at it.
So when they come and talk to me, I'm like, the first thing, I have to show them where it is, because a lot of them are like, I'm like, use your thumb, guide it with the finger, it's the other side of the clit. It's super simple. Use this toy and press down and look in a mirror. And by the way, that look for the first couple of times looks so awkward. But I'm like, do it by yourself and then just enjoy it. And then when you get embarrassed about it, have a glass of wine and enjoy it. But the other thing is the fact that I say to them, you know, you have to know, understand if you have a problem with that because you've been programmed that it's sexual, stop thinking it's sexual. Start thinking it's healthy. So let's think of it as a muscle, no different than your arm muscle. You need to take a look at it because it's a healthy organ. And if there's something wrong with it, wouldn't you rather know that there's something wrong with it than you all of a sudden realizing that you have cancer or something is very wrong, like in any sort of diseases, etc. So wouldn't you rather that you go, I'm in control of that area? So if you think of it as just an organ, right? Just an organ. So deprogram and take a look at it. Take a look. It's an organ. Stop thinking that it's the sex organ and follow through with it. And that's how a lot of women are like, oh, you're right. If I think of it different, things are different. That's actually how I teach masturbation, not as a form of sexual release, as a form of exercise release.
Of exercise release.
Absolutely.
Okay. It actually made me think of an old book I've read a long time ago about sexual reflexology, where at one point sex was where they'd actually prescribe, let's have, you know, have sex in this position three times in a day kind of thing. So,
well, that's the thing is when you're masturbating, it's about you. When you're actually having sex with someone, you actually have to put energy into that other person. And sometimes we as women need to go back to us and think about us. So one of the things, if they can't release that because they feel it's taboo, because they're like cheating on their partner or something, I'm like, why don't we think of it as a form of exercise? Because if you can actually get your heart rate up to 140 beats per minute, and by the way, that takes 7 minutes on a treadmill, okay? So you can do it lying down with a vibrator, okay, 140 beats per minute. It's a really fantastic orgasm to intensify the breath, but it's also is one of the only orgasms that really stimulates blood flow within the breasts. Yes, it's so important, and we don't have enough of that. Like, we're supposed to be these creatures that have, like, a dozen children and breastfeed for, what is it, 20, 30 years or something? Wow. Like, technically, you wonder why we have, like, cancers or problems with breast cancers or other forms is that we don't have enough stimulation. And even during sex, we don't get that same, because a lot of women do not have orgasms during sex. So if they can have more orgasms during masturbation, the blood flow within the breast is actually very beneficial for our health. So a lot of times I teach women that if we can, like, stop thinking of it as a sexual thing and start thinking of an exercise form.
And a health thing.
Exactly. Like, why are you popping, like, Prozac and depressants and aspirin when you could just go and masturbate for 2-3 minutes? And trust me, you will not kill your children by the end of the day. Absolutely. Let's be honest. You get so relaxed. You're like, oh, things are all good. So if you stop thinking of it as a sex thing and thinking of it as an exercise, and then it intensifies that muscle, which is one of the most important things. Because if that muscle is not, you know, exercised, it will deteriorate because it is just a muscle. And we don't, as a society, we are accepting things on TV and programs like tenna pads, incontinence. Like, people are in diapers in nursing homes. I'm sorry, that should not be happening. You know, that's an embarrassing factor at that level. So if we can work that muscle out, we can then stay away from any sort of embarrassing bladder leakage or incontinence when we're older. Because that's what it is muscle deterioration. So if women, like when I deal with like older women, like over, you know, 60, 70 years old, and they bought their first vibrator, you know, they're like, I just don't want to wear, you know, diapers. And I'm like, I can't blame you. Like, you know, if you don't, you know, keep it in form, it's just going to fall apart. So it's no different than every other muscle.
So in other words, work it.
Exactly. And so what? In this society, we don't have sex with a partner because of diseases or we're not in tune with it. What is wrong with masturbation then? I mean, there's two different forms of masturbation as well. You've got your clitoral masturbation, which is what I actually really focus on the seminars, so that you actually have nothing in the vaginal canal or in the anal canal. And what you do is just solely work on the vibration on the clitoris. And therefore, when you have that orgasm, you feel the muscle contraction. It's so you don't actually in your head think of that it's a sexual need. When you actually use a vibrator in the vaginal canal, that's where women get confused, because then they think that they could be cheating on their partner, or they could be like having, that's like having sex with another organ, like, you know, like an object. And so a lot of partners, especially men, have found that very threatening. So when I teach them that it's only clitoral, they don't feel so threatened. So I always say to women, why not just start with a vaginal? You'll realize that you will spend probably 90% of your masturbation time just on the clitoris and very little on an internal level. Right?
I'm going to encourage anyone who has a partner who feels that way to encourage them to get a cock ring that has a vibrator on it, and especially if you're doing it from behind.
Oh, you like that way, huh?
So then that way, they can have that on. If they have it directly under their balls, it's actually could be quite nice. So then they can actually enjoy it themselves and understand the value of it.
I know. And on that one, you got to add something called the doggy sling to it. So therefore, he's not actually gripping down on your kidneys. I have so many women that have to go pee after doing doggy stuff. I'm like, it's because his thumbs are like pushed into your kidneys. And I'm like, here, let me shift it for you and you won't have that problem.
But it's true. I'm just clenching everything, including my jaw. Ow.
But it's true. If you think about it, most men grab you right there and dip their like thumbs right in.
This is when we need a video camera.
It is. So the doggy sling works really well. Most stores only sell them for like 20, 30 bucks, eh? So it's super cheap, and then we're using with that cock ring, like the position you said, mm-hmm. works really well. She actually had an issue with that, and they didn't use the doggy sling.
In the book.
They did. They actually use the tie, which is on the first book. The tie is actually a very big symbolic reason of doing a lot of shift changes at spur of the moment, like not just tying up her hands, but rubbing that tie around her midsection so that she could get the degree angle for doggy style, because they were on the floor of a bathroom and she was slipping away from it instead of holding on to something on a rail. So this is what I mean by being really creative and understanding how your body works, because she was like, grabbed the tie and then wrapped it around her stomach and then he pulled it in.
Are we talking just a tie, like as in what?
Yeah, like he was wearing a tie and she needed it as like a sling. That's what's so brilliant about the books, is like, that's cool. That's really hot, too, if you think of how creative she was in the sense of bringing something to the room instead of saying, oh, I need to buy a sex toy or I need to buy that. She was like, well, this isn't working for me, mm-hmm. so I want this way because it doesn't work for my body type. And that's what I think the whole books are all about, is the fact that it really makes you create and think outside the box instead of saying, I'm just going to lie there, like there's only these positions. It's like you can intensify just the missionary position, the doggy style, reverse cowgirl, girl on top. There's four positions. So how do you intensify that on a different level? And that's what those books talk about, is like, you makes you think, going, oh yeah, I could try that. That would be kind of fun.
So did you originally read the books because you read about them, or did somebody mention them at when you were doing a party or a workshop? And then from there, you're like, okay, I got to go take a look at this.
Well, you know me. I have to read everything online. Everything left, right, and center. So I had heard about this E.L. James, and she was this wonderful woman who has two teenage boys in London and stuff. And she's been writing. They were released over a year ago, but only mm-hmm. on, I guess, audio or e-books or something.
E-book, yeah.
But somebody said to me, have you read these books? This is back in March. And I said, you know, I've heard about it. It's about bondage. And they go, no, it's actually about something a little bit different. You should really check it out. And I couldn't get the books here. So when I was flying down to Vegas, I was in Portland and I saw them just being put on the shelf. So of course I grabbed them and I read it when I was sitting in Vegas, and it was fantastic. I was like, she got it bang on. I can actually feel her, who she is, and that's the thing, is when she writes it, you can tell it's her fantasy. And because she's stuck in her world of her life being, you know, the 9-to-5, and you can feel her. You can actually feel her in the whole book, through Anastasia and through Christian, going, she wants so much more of her sex life, and this is how she's bringing it apart, because mm-hmm. she can communicate it in such a simple form that any woman can understand it, and any woman can relate it to their own body types. And I think that's what captured it, because you could be, you know, 100 pounds, or you could be 300 pounds, or you could be in a wheelchair, or you could be a bodybuilder, and you get it. And I think that's why I always say women throb for this stuff, because mm-hmm. we get it. When men read it, I'll be honest, they don't like it. They don't get it.
That's why it's so mixed in regards to the reviews, or absolutely. Is it probably the writing as well?
The writing is very poorly written, but if you took it as you're trying to understand the sense of orgasm and your own sense of belief, why would you want something that's fairly literary, well written, that you kind of go, well, then I have to actually analyze it. You want it to flow with what you're feeling at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how it's written. And I think she did a fantastic job. You know, believe it or not, she wrote it most of the time when she was on the subway, on the tube, back and forth from London for work. She would write it actually on her BlackBerry.
See, that's impressive. And that actually inspires me, because hopefully one of these days we'll all have a write. Because, I mean, you've got a book in you, definitely, at least
a few. Oh, my God.
So
a few books. Just yeah. What I need, huh? Yeah.
No, I think that's awesome. We are going to take a really quick short break, and when we come back, we're going to be chatting some more. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back.
Want to know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news, as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
The Vancouver Aboriginal Child and Family Services Society, our mission is to protect and value our children, our future, our responsibility. We invite you to come join our Circle of Caring. We are seeking caring people in the greater Vancouver and Richmond areas who are willing to share their homes and provide foster care for Aboriginal children in need. Contact us at 604-216-7447 with any questions, or visit us at vacfss.com.
Calling all BC short filmmakers, the third annual Vancouver Short Film Festival is back and accepting entries until August 1st. Students and professionals welcome. No max time limit, but keep them short. At the last festival, 45 short films were screened. $18,000 in prizes was awarded. For more information or to enter, visit bsff.com.
Winnie Cooper presents the Thursday Concert Series at 560. With one of the biggest video walls in North America, 560 is quickly becoming one of the nicest venues Vancouver has to offer. It currently houses four floors, each presenting you with a different musical vibe. In the coming months, the Thursday Concert Series will showcase some of the biggest local and international acts to hit town. The Thursday Concert Series at 560 Club, located at 560 Seymour Street in Vancouver, BC, presented by Winnie Cooper.
And we are back in Sexy in Van City Radio, 101.9 FM on CITR. And if you're just joining us, and if you have or have not read 50 Shades of Grey, 50 Shades Darker, or 50 Shades Freed, I have got the lovely, the sexy Laska from Sex Ed with the Twist on, and we've been chatting about it because she's been doing 50 Shades of Grey workshops, which has been fantastic in regards to having women connect with themselves in regards to their sexuality and being the best you can be. Well, you can bring a lot more to your relationship as well. So before the break, or during the break, I should say, one of the things I was asking Laska is, we had talked a little bit about clitoral orgasms, and just focusing, because that is a really key one. But, and everybody always talks about the clit, but I was like, can we chat about vaginal orgasms and anal as well?
Absolutely. So we talked about the clitoral, and now vaginal. That's one of the hardest ones. And, you know, I have to say that when I do teach classes for it, one of the things I always say to women is you got to learn to control the mind first. So you've got to be very comfortable. Once again, understand your body and really understand that you're acceptable for it, especially if you're going to do this by yourself. You've got to be fairly comfortable with vibrators, and it's going to go inside the vaginal canal. So I'm very picky on, like, products. So maybe you don't want to buy that hard plastic because you don't want that touching internally, or latex, TPR or elastomere, silicone, really great products. But once again, everybody has a different zone of what they feel comfortable, whether it's a personal feeling like as of allergies or a personal feeling based on the environment too. Mm. Because, you know, silicone is a better product. TPR is a thermalized plasticized rubber. Latex is a cheaper product. Everybody's different. So you got to find out where your comfort zone is, right? And then once you're using a product like that, one of the things that I always teach is the fact, use your mind, use the mirror, 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 mirror. I cannot stress enough. A lot of women don't use a mirror because it actually stimulates another sensory, is our visual, which we don't use enough of. And I think we should, you know, because it really helps get in tune with our bodies to watch our vaginal canal and watch those orgasms and watch our body shudder, because we should be more in tune with our bodies by visually as well as a physical being.
Which, considering we get 90% of our information from what we see,
yes,
it makes perfect sense.
That's why mirrors. And then the other thing I always say is start not small, but thin. Okay, everybody, all these men in this industry, and gentlemen, I love you, the toy manufacturers that are men. I do, but, you know, you don't give us these cute little thin, discreet vibrators. We don't want a big penis. We really don't want a big plastic penis shoved in our face or anywhere else. You know, we want to buy something discreet, small, you know, simple, simple. So I always go something with a really small girth, because you want to concentrate the vibration instead of the girth. Because you're working on an orgasm, you're not working on working that muscle out. And when you're actually dealing with penetration, it deals with all sense of your sensory, especially when you're having penetration with your partner. Mm-hmm. So if you're using a thinner vibrator, you're then actually working your G-spot and your A-spot, which is up towards your cervix, because then you're vaginal canal is not gripping down, I call it, mm-hmm. on the product. You know, same with when you're using the rabbit. The rabbit is fantastic, but the reason why the girth is really popular in the rabbit, that is because the beads rotate, so it's different than penetration. That's why it's always been very popular. You know, mm-hmm. anything that stimulates a man's penis, well, you're not going to have the same sort of experience of understanding your orgasm, because that's where that our connection is, that with our partner. So that's why I'm like, a lot of times, if we can get away from stimulating toys mm-hmm. that are similar to having sex, that it intensifies you understanding that orgasm more and you understanding where you are.
Got it.
So if it's thinner, when you're reaching in just to find your G-spot or your A-spot up high, and it's thin, you're actually concentrating your mind and that feeling on that zone, instead of feeling like you're gripping down all your muscles onto the toy. For example, when I teach using the rabbit, if they're using the rotation, a lot of women always say to me, well, when I use the rabbit, the clitoral part is fantastic, which is a little bunny nose. But the rotation part, I always can stop the beads, because what they're doing is they're gripping down on it, which is fantastic for exercise, but we're trying to use it for masturbation. So mm-hmm. we're trying to intensify and understand our orgasm. So I always say, why don't you release the tension in your vaginal canal, let it rotate, and when it keeps bypassing the G-spot, you're going to feel that intensity mixed with the vibration on the outside of the clitoris. So it intensifies that orgasm. That's what sex toys are all about, is that when you add those in, when you're with your partner, do you see how it's such a different experience mm-hmm. that it balances itself off? Because as men get older, we love them pieces, they actually deteriorate on a sexual level based on their performance, where we as women become more intensified and our orgasms are more intensified. So I always say to women, why not spend time with your vibrator so that you're at the same sort of level as your partner when it comes to sex? Because you will end up giving more instead of taking more from them. Hmm. And it's all about the energy, because if you can give them more, you know, than your orgasms, because we are giving creatures anyways. We're nurturing women. So if you can get all the basic orgasms out of the way first, so when you're with your partner, that you can then be on the same level of that orgasm. So using toys, that's your vaginal, okay, using something like that. Now, anal. Now, what I always teach women, because they always get a little bit freaked out, we don't want anything in our bums, okay, thinking we don't want to be that it girl. I love the word it girl. I swear, if I hear
I
it one more
know
time.
If I've ever
have you
heard
the it girl?
No, I haven't. I think I'm in the dark.
Which... Okay, in Sex and the City, Charlotte's in the taxi, and she goes, but if I take it in the bum, then I'll be the it girl for taking it up the ass. I don't want to be take it up the ass girl, which is the it girl. So nobody wants to be the it girl. So what I always teach women, that's a hard one, you know, get over it. But first things first, don't stick a penis right in the anus, okay? Because that's just like asking for trouble in all sense of sensories and, whoa, what's going on?
Well, the membranes, there's less
exactly,
of them.
Unless you're pretty comfortable with your body. And there could be a mess factor as well. So I always say to women, welcome to the world. You have to learn how to control all that. So it's best to control it by yourself. So what I have always said is, why not use some beads? They have really basic silicone beads, and what you do is just put one or two in the anus, okay? And they buy you buy these beads with 10 different gradual beads, and you put one or two up. In the book, she actually used a stainless steel butt plug, which, don't get me wrong, that's quite heavy, too. I would use more of a silicone butt plug for beginners, because a stainless steel, I mean, it's beautiful. It's very, very clean. But that can be really heavy on the sphincter muscle if you're not used to it. So something that's light, beads, or a nice small silicone butt plug. Nothing big, okay? Because what you're trying to do is intensify the orgasm there. And at first, you're never going to have an orgasm in the anus until you're pretty relaxed in the head. Mm-hmm. So what I do is I always say to people, get beads or get a butt plug and then do a clitoral orgasm at the same time. So use a little vibrator on the clit. And then when you feel like you're about to come, pull those beads out and always do it by yourself, because you never know your mess factor. So you got to be comfortable with that, you know, but it's better to be by yourself. And then you pull them out, and you'll feel that intensify feeling in your sphincter. So that's kind of like the first couple of times. Then when women go, wow, that was kind of cool, I really like it, I'm like, how about if we decide to cover a bullet with a condom? And the reason why is because this is going through your anus. So I'm a big, like, if that's going to be a butt toy, that's a butt toy. Or if it's a bullet, like, cover it with a condom, tie it like a balloon, and pop that in your bum, okay? And then, but with a cord, okay, remember, nothing goes in the bum without a way out. Number one rule.
Sorry.
Yes.
A certain movie star that we've heard rumors of gerbils.
Oh my God, that is such the bad word. That is the worst rumor I've ever heard.
I'm glad it's not about me.
I've heard that one too. Bad. Only here in Vancouver, up in the north, as we say.
Touché.
I know. So, yes, yeah, so you want to try the bullet with a cord, and then you press the different functions or a sliding control, and you feel the intensity of an orgasm through that, because it touches your G-spot, but it's a different zone. So what I teach a lot of women is, it's not always, especially with anal, lying on your back. It could be a lot more like lying on your front or on your side. Because the vaginal canal can shift based on weight change and also how intensified your muscle is down on your Kegels. So it's always changing a lot more than your vaginal muscles. So that's how you try it and start off with. And that was something that I really liked about in the books, that she did use a butt plug, a stainless steel, which I thought was, don't buy stainless steel yet. Buy something mellow first. Then you can go to stainless steel is also, like, you know, it's very expensive. But don't forget, he's a multimillionaire, so the products that he's using are like the best of the best, okay? So you don't have to spend that kind of money. But when he used it, when he went down on her and then he pulled it out, that can be quite frightening unless you're fairly comfortable with the partner you're with. So it was an interesting read, but at the same time, I saw that, you know, you want to be at a certain level of comfort. I mean, Christian was very comfortable with any sort of mass factors or anything. He was a very comfortable, but not all partners are agreeable like that. So you always have to ask your partner, so what's your level of acceptance? Because we don't want to freak anyone out here. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and that's no different than when she was getting, you know, caned or anything too. When he was using the flogger, especially on her clitoral area, and just kind of snapping it, you know, he was fairly comfortable with using that on a certain level because he was licking and kissing her. And then so the moisture and the sweat that she was building up and using that with a leather flogger, he understood the level of what is acceptable within her pain, but also acceptable within bruising on her skin. And she then took it over as using it as an incredibly intense orgasm. You see, so even though the book talks about bondage and about submissive, is it or is it talking about orgasms? And that's what I think I like about it because, you know, you read all the other bondage books out there, and I've read so many, and I love them. I really do. But I never got that sense of mixing a basic orgasm with bondage because I'm not a fetish girl. I'm like the super simplest person ever. And when I deal with my clients, I kind of get them because I get what they want. They just want to have fun and great sex. Everything else is like, you know, sometimes you get a couple people with fetishes. But to understand these books, it's not about a fetish. It's about an acceptance to increasing their own sexuality and their own romance. And that's what I got out of it, and I think that's what a lot of my clients have got out of it, and that's why the workshops have been so popular, mm-hmm. because the women are like, wow, I want to try that. I want, you know, I've been married for how many years? I don't want to be with someone else, but I want to intensify it. And if I'm a freak with bondage or dominatrix, does that mean, like, it is a fetish, or can it be enhanced as an incorporation of our sex lives? And they brought it into the mainstream. And that's probably why it's very popular.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a big thing. You mentioned that they were very comfortable with each other.
Very.
And I think in regards to sexuality, it's important to have conversations.
Believe it or not, they don't have a lot.
Really?
Yeah, they don't. It's great. It's great. I think they just have lots of sex and it just figures itself out, which I think that's how a lot of people should be.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah, it is, because he can't communicate very well. And I think that's the realization of men. No offense, gentlemen, but you can't communicate. And you know what? That's okay. You know, we just have to accept that's the way it is. We chicks talk and communicate about our feelings, and you ask them, and it's like, you know, might as well smash your head against the wall for a little bit longer. So we should accept that, you know, instead of being all frustrated. So, no, she couldn't always communicate with them, but she could understand in his moments of that sexuality and that moment of what he really meant.
But at the beginning, though, they did have where he discussed and said, this is all the things that I'm comfortable with. This is what I'm cool with.
Yes.
And they actually had that original
contract.
Yes, contract, where a negotiation in regards to what they were comfortable with, and she chose whether or not to accept or not to accept.
Absolutely.
I think that's really key, and because sometimes people go into stuff and they don't have those conversations. And I think it's important to have that conversation. And after that, once you've set parameters for this is okay, I'm willing to try this, this is okay,
mm-hmm.
This is the code word. If I am not comfortable, if either of us are, for whatever reason, this means stop.
Yes.
Not using the word stop, of course, but just making sure you have that. And then once that's there, I think by all means you can play within that. As
absolutely.
Long as you know the rules, you can have some fun.
Well, I think that's how his conversations mm-hmm. were, was that it was a legal contract. But then, you know, most average people, they do have a sense of verbal. It's like, no, I don't want anal play. No, I don't want that. I don't want you to come in my mouth. I mean, everybody has a different level of what's acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. So they do have that sense of conversation. But as of when it got really meaningful, they didn't. You could tell. And I think that's what brings the reality in the sense that mm-hmm. it's not that she had to figure stuff out. It's just that, you know, she had to, you know, she figured out when they were together, you know, and it started coming into play
mm-hmm.
and stuff, especially with trying different things too, because they never did sign the contract. And that is not giving away the plot, but as you read it, you realize there is no contract. Which is interesting, even though it's the biggest thing in the first book.
Yeah.
It's never been signed.
How has this changed you, this whole process of reading the books, implementing in regards to the workshops, and the fact that it has become mainstream? Has it changed you in any way, shape, or form?
Absolutely. I'll be honest, I, as a personal level, I can't stand bondage. I can't stand being... I used to think it was horrific. I think anyone who does that, and here I am going to Sin City and dealing with people on a level, but I'm on my own personal level, I could not even fathom it. And I still think there's a sense of I'm completely scared by it, because I think of it as demoralizing and everything. But I think by reading the books, I realized that there was another sense of it. It wasn't something to be scared about. I never looked at it as something on such a sexual level. Mm-hmm. I always thought about it, well, those people can do their thing. And I think it brought me out on my business sense and also on my personal level, going, oh my gosh, there's nothing wrong. I think really deep down inside, I've always thought, like, there's no way. So bringing those products into play, even on my business sense, I'm shocked. I'm shocked at how much more I've, like, realized, like, it's okay. And I think that's what I needed to read, was something that made it normal, because all the other books and all the other information was so far-fetched. I couldn't relate to it at all. And I think a lot of women, when I deal with them in the workshops, they're like me, going, oh my gosh, but I'm just a mom. I'm a soccer mom, and I just want to have my relationship with my partner. I don't want all this... You know, I don't want to be beaten. I don't want to be submissive. I don't want to be dommed. I don't get it. And it made it okay by realizing it is about intensifying your own sexuality in really simple forms.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's great. I have to say my workshops have changed. I think the writing that I've been doing on it has definitely changed. It's interesting. And I see that there's other fetishes out there that shouldn't be so stereotyped into a negative connotation, which I think even I'm always growing too, you know, I'm not perfect, and welcome to the world, you know. When people say, oh, you know everything, I'm like, God, no, you know, I'm still scared of tons of other stuff. And by accepting it and being vulnerable about it and moving on with it, that, you know, reading this has just brought out such an enlightenment. I think other people are going to bring out other fetishes in the same sort of enlightenment, to understand that it's okay to try these things. It doesn't make you a freak. There you go. It doesn't make you a freak.
And it comes right down to self-esteem again.
Very much so.
Being able to accept, giving permission to explore, and sometimes finding some real beauty in it.
Exactly. And It is an amazing love story, believe it or not. The books are an amazing love story.
You've seen the way I did when I read Twilight, which I can't believe I'm admitting that after the movies came out, which were truly... I'm sorry for all my Twilight listeners
It's all good.
I hated the movies other than the first one. But the books I actually really liked, so I'm definitely going to have to check these out.
You know what they reminded me of is Forever. My Judy Blume.
It was a Judy Blume book, because
I loved Forever when I was like 15. That romance that was exploratory.
I read it in grade 4.
His name was Michael, right? Remember, he would go down on her, and you're just like, oh my gosh, that was so hot, and you wanted to know, like, how did that whole connection work? That's what these books, the new 50 Shades. Are like.
You know what? Then in that case, I totally understand why it's so popular. If it's Judy Blume's style of writing, it's basically like you're hearing it from your best friends. So it's that chatty, wonderful style. So I get it.
Yeah, that's why when people criticize that it's not well written, well, either was Judy Blume. I mean,
won so many awards.
Yeah, we read those. That's what we grew up with on our sexuality, because no one ever told us anything when we were teenagers. Remember, you had the sex talk about birds and bees. Okay, when did birds and bees have anything to do with sex? Or the stork?
No, it's true, because she had things like, are you there, God? It's me, Margaret. Mm-hmm. Then again, maybe I won't, about masturbation.
Yes.
And then she had other ones as well, which I cannot remember off the top of my head, but I know I read every single book she had at one point.
I know, they're great. Forever reminds me of these books. That was great. We used to all hand it around in the boarding school, and it was just so taboo.
I read it in grade 4, so.
Are you serious? I didn't even know what sex was back then.
One of my aunts was a nurse, so she made, yeah, we read Where Did I Come From, and remember what the other text was, but it was one that was used quite frequently in the 70s, but can't quite remember anymore.
Oh, it was forever. Oh, believe it or not, I still have it. I can't believe I admitted that. But I still have the old copy. Yeah, it's a great book.
It is, very much so. So what is, for anybody who is interested in booking a workshop with you, do you want to just tell people how they can get a hold of you, when they are, if there's set ones that are coming up?
Or? Well, I want to do set ones, but with summer and the way it is, mm-hmm. that I'm based on women. If they do, we can do them in the Vancouver Kits area, but a lot of people want me to come into their home still, you know, especially with the way the economy is going. So they set up a small. As of the fee, we work that out based on how many people are there and what exactly are we going to talk about. Are we going to go into intense talk just about the products that are in there and the techniques, so there is a small fee, or if not, can we add other products? Because a lot of times there is a really fantastic section in there about the blowjob that she gave him, and a lot of women are like, how did she do that without doing the gag reflex? So I want to show them, because it's actually in a bathtub, and yeah, I want to show them, like, there are a way you can do that by adding different products if you're not in the bathtub. So, you know, if we mix a little bit of a blowjob techniques with different products mixed in with the whole, like, from the spreader bar to the Benoit balls to the use of Hitachi wand, I don't do a lot on the nipple clamps that are talked about in there, because there isn't any great nipple clamps in the market, to be honest. They're pretty... they're all right, you know. So, but we talk about the spreader bar and the different position pieces that they use, the butt plugs, the floggers, etc. Then I do, like I said, a very basic charger, next to nothing, because, you know, I know they're going to buy, you know, that's how it is, right? Mm-hmm. And I do have the books for sale as well. But I really want to intensify on what is really important to you, because some people don't even want to use the products. They want to just work on the different positions that are all discussed in there, because not only is it about the products, there is like another like 50 different positions, if you actually read in great detail on their sex lives, that if you figure it all out, how it can intensify that orgasm. Like, there is one part where she's on a couch, and if you read it very carefully, you could figure out the level of the couch and how it intensified that orgasm based on where her hands were on the floorboard and also on the corner and how it worked. Or my favorite one, believe it or not, I've had so many people requesting sex toy parties based on they're buying these new mattresses called memory foam.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, do you know that sex on memory foam is really shitty? So you have to completely change how you currently have sex, because you just can't have, like, straight missionary sex. Believe it or not, it's great for sleeping. It's the worst for sex. So a lot of times I've been teaching people how to use their memory foam mattresses, because in the books they talk about the memory foam, mm-hmm. because, you know, that's, like, the most expensive mattress.
Yeah.
So... you know, things like that. So what I want to do is tailor these workshops even more, because when people have read that, these books, they really can get down to saying, instead of, I just want to book you for a sex toy party, they're phoning me and asking me specific, well, I want to learn this now. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, it's gone to a completely different level. And so when I've written them up into my website under Sex Ed with a Twist, under our toy seminars and workshops, is in great detail exactly what you can mix and match based on what's important to you. Because everybody's different.
Yeah.
So it really brings out a lot of, you know, different ideas that you want to intensify that workshop. So that's what I offer.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Since the books have come out, in terms of what people are requesting, are you finding more women are more taking more control in their sex life, or more curiosity in terms of trying to figure out how they can control their own orgasm?
Yes. It's about how that they can have more. It's always about, and also dealing with all the influences of the economy, because we are so tuned in to our own drama that they always ask me, like, how can I add these features and have an orgasm and have all the bills and all the drama that's going on in my life, the kids or whatever. So they are trying to find different ways to just say, I can just have an orgasm. I need to control it much more or let it be more acceptable within my life with all these negative aspects that keep beating down on me.
And it makes sense that there's the romance in there because it's the uplifting part, especially with the recession going on. Kind of reminds me of the lipstick factor, which apparently whenever the stock market crashes, the sales for lipstick increase because people want to buy something that makes them feel good. But
exactly.
isn't like buying a fur coat or some, well, maybe not a fur coat in this day and age, but you know what I mean? Something that's maybe a memory foam mattress, something that's expensive.
So. And I think that's what people want, so they can better sleep, but they don't realize they're not getting better sex, but they can. You just need to refocus and we reangle it. Like I had a party last weekend. And that's all we talked about for like half an hour, how to work your memory foam mattress. They should have instructions for it. Like seriously. It's very amusing.
That might be a whole video series for you.
Oh my gosh, that would be great.
And very lucrative too.
Very. But you, everyone, you know, women, ladies, you should read these books. If you want to read some really good summer flick, read it. Don't watch the movie because there's no way they're going to capture what's in the books in this movie. They say there's going to be rights. But, you know, read it. It's fantastic. You'll enjoy it.
For guys that you said that men who are reading it probably wouldn't be too
into it. No, they don't like it.
Okay.
None of them. I hate to say it. They don't get it. Constantly I've had men say that when they read it, they don't get it, and then they think it's very poorly written. It's because it's just so tuned into us.
Okay.
So we should just accept that. Gentlemen, you have your information, and this is ours. Let's just accept it for what it's worth.
Cool. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, hon.
And I'm going to have to read these books, because that sounds pretty damn cool. So,
very.
And I think it's wonderful that women are just encouraged to, because I think the more women empower themselves, the more it empowers men as well, and it makes for happier, healthier relationships all in all.
Absolutely.
So I say go forth. Encourage your ladies to explore and have some fun.
Absolutely.
And up next is Hans von Klaus's Misery Hour. He is a very sexy man to be miserable with. He'll be guiding us through the wee hours with his ambient music and his super hot voice. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. Have a wonderful night, everyone.